Listener supported. WNYC Studios. Wake up.
From newsounds.org, welcome to the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The band Arthur Moon makes wonderfully strange off-kilter pop songs, or maybe I should say, they're songs that have the form of pop, but content drawn from lots of other more experimental places. Arthur Moon is led by singer and multi-instrumentalist Laura Faye Ashavood, who's no stranger to these parts, having hosted a series of programs on our 24/7 New Sounds radio stream here on our website. But this is the first time that we've had the chance to bring the whole band in to play live for us. So here is Arthur Moon with a song called Wait a Minute.
Whatever you do.
that is the band Arthur Moon with a song called Wait a Minute, recently released and now played live here in our studio in Lower Manhattan. Arthur Moon, led by Laura Faye Ashavood. Good to see you, Laura Faye. Now I feel bad because I sort of warned people that it might sound like pop. And then, you know, because 3 minutes into the song, suddenly there's like, you know, a left turn that happens. And I sort of prepared people for that. I feel bad about that. But that's kind of the fun of these songs.
Yeah, you got to throw a wrench in.
Yeah. let me finish introducing the band. Cale Hawkins is singing and playing synthesizers. Aviva Jay singing and keyboards at her feet, electronics anyway. Dave Palazzola is behind the drum kit and also handling samples. AJ Jagannath on guitar and Marty Fowler playing the synth bass. And you, Laura Faye, playing guitar, singing, and
eventually a little bit of vocoder.
Really tiny keyboard. So that's the vocoder.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking like these days.
This one, yeah, it's a remake of the old, I think it was called the VP330, and they're doing this boutique remake series.
So this song is, as I said, is sort of recently released. We haven't had a full length from this band. But
we're finishing the mixes tomorrow.
Okay, very good. So how intentional are all of the sudden twists and turns, the unexpected detours that the songs take? Do you set out to do that, or do you find yourself writing pop songs and then kind of rejiggering them after the fact?
Really, the whole point is the weird stuff, and the pop songs portion of it is really just to get people to listen, I think, honestly. Mm. I think we start in left field and then rein it in until it feels like there's a good balance.
Well, you know, with the three voices up in front here, for people who are watching, you know, Aviva, you, and Cale all in a line in front, the harmonies are just, you know, they're beautiful, lovely, welcoming, accessible harmonies. It's all the rest of the stuff behind it that's kind of subversive and unsettling.
Yeah, I started out playing folk music, and those harmonies, be they lush or be they a little bit weird and out, are the thing that has always interested me about music. And
now, what kind of folk? I mean, you're Brooklyn born and raised, right?
Yeah.
What kind? When you say folk music, what do you mean?
I play a little clawhammer banjo, if you must know.
Okay. All right.
I just grew up listening to that stuff, country music, folk music. In college, I was very taken with the Harry Smith anthology and dug way deep into that. And so that's a big influence on what we're doing, even if it's maybe not on the surface instrumentally.
Right.
Yeah.
And in terms of like more experimental things, how did that come into your musical life?
I think actually the experimental stuff is a function of not having any musical training and not reading music and not coming from any formal background. So I think maybe what folks label as experimental is just what sounds like music to me in my head.
Well, so we've had the chance in the past to hear some EPs, things like that. And I found your song called simply Beatles to be very telling because it's basically a remake of
While My Guitar
Gently
Except
Weeps.
Except we never say that. Except,
right. Yeah. You never actually give us that phrase.
I look at the world and I notice it's turning.
Sing most of the rest of the song, and all the, you know, the chords are, you know, the sort of arpeggiation is stripped away, and it's just this kind of ambient, almost drone behind you. And that seemed to me to be a really kind of a neat little emblem of the way you approach music and pop music.
I wanted to get to the heart of it, and I think sometimes getting to the heart of things is a minimalist approach. And sometimes getting to the heart of things is being, as the kids say, extra.
And sometimes getting to the heart of the thing is to take the heart of the thing out, even though it's the title of the song.
My critique is that I don't think that line needs to be there. I mean, they're geniuses, but I don't think it needs to be there.
Well, there's also no guitar in the song, right? So it wouldn't make any sense.
Exactly.
You give us the still, just not the follow-up line. The still just kind of hangs in the air. So how long has this band been in this kind of form, this configuration?
How long? 6-piece for a couple of years, I think. Yeah. Maybe ever since we started releasing music. Yeah.
And the name, Arthur Moon?
Came to me in a dream.
Okay. I never buy that. I never believe when people tell me that their band names came in a dream.
Marcel Duchamp had an alter ego named Eros with two R's, uh-huh. C'est la vie. Cute little,
bilingual pun.
Yeah, and Marcel just came to me in a dream and told me I was Arthur Moon. There's no pun, though, which I said, Marcel, why is there no pun? There's no pun.
Okay. So you're putting the finishing touches on the first LP from the band.
Yes.
Do you have a title?
Arthur Moon.
Okay. Appropriate, simple. Mm-hmm. And therefore maybe inappropriate for this band. But so Wait a Minute was the first single to come out, but there's another one which you're going to do for us next.
Yes, Standing Wave, which came out right after Wait a Minute, yeah.
All right. And then there will be a chance for people to see you guys playing live.
December 2nd?
2nd, right.
At Berlin.
Okay.
Yes.
And today, here in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do the song for us?
Let's do it.
All right. The band is Arthur Moon. And this is one of the new songs from the album, which will be called Arthur Moon. This is Standing Wave. Thank you. Standing Wave, another new song from the band Arthur Moon, performing here in our studio today. They'll be playing December 2nd at Berlin, playing for us here in the studio today. Laura Fay, the show that you've done for us on our website at newsounds.org as part of our live 24/7 stream is called Odd Theory.
Yes.
And you started with a kind of a multi-part exploration of sonic texture, which is like, you know, hits me right between the eyes. You know, people talk about rhythm and harmony and melody, but texture is such an important part of, I think, of and clearly you do too, of making music.
Yes.
Why is it so kind of overlooked by people when they're talking, you know, theoretically about music?
I don't know why it's overlooked, but I do think that it's coming more to the fore in conversation about music because of this whole ASMR internet subculture.
Really?
I don't know if you've heard at all about this, but there's a large group of people who are really interested in listening to, like, mouth noises,
right,
or crinkling wrappers or sound of rain in sort of a 3D audio mm-hmm. context.
Yeah, ASMR stands for
Autonomous
Sensory
Meridian
response.
Exactly, yeah.
And its opposite, which we actually have covered on Soundcheck in the past, is misophonia, which is Aviva, yes? You with me on this?
No, the
mouth noise thing makes my skin crawl.
Grosses you out,
and
yeah.
Misophonia is the technical term for people who hate, like, mouth noise or those little noise, like when the knife touches the fork on the side.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you don't like that stuff but love textural music, because I think it actually has the same effect, which is to create this sense of intimacy or the lack thereof, a kind
right.
of relationship with whoever it is that's playing music for you that's a little bit artificial, because very rarely do we hear someone play music and actually, if we're in the room with them, hear their mouth noises, right?
Yeah. You know, and I love, like, the sound of rain, you
right.
know? I'll listen to that any day or night.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. Now, see, if you sampled somebody's mouth noise and turned it into a kind of a cool rhythm, I could probably go there.
We just spent maybe a full afternoon, Marty and I, making samples of tinfoil crinkling in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
Coming soon on our
Matthew Deer has created some really kick-ass rhythms out of just, like, small little utterances that he makes or records from someone else. And, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think that's why this whole texture question is becoming more and more popular. I think it's because of electronic music and because people are using so much more to make music. They're because of sampling, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And even before sampling, synthesis.
Sure.
The idea that you could, you know, pick and choose the frequencies that were going to be in your sound and the frequencies that were going to be missing from your sound and
yeah.
stuff like that. Can you still do that with digital? It
yeah.
all comes kind of pre-programmed, doesn't
no,
it?
No, definitely not.
Okay, all right. All right.
Not for us anyway.
Yeah, good. So how much extra musical associations do you have with the songs? Because there are a couple of your songs that incorporate found sound, where it's not just mouth noise, it's people talking,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr., for example, or the first song you played for us. Wait a minute. The video is this wonderful collage of 60s and 70s stuff with pride marches. So do you see these songs as more than just, you know, musical endeavors?
I'm not. I have let go of the idea that I have a unique authorship. I think that everything I do is affected by stuff that other people have done, and hopefully one day vice versa, which is not to say that it's just a collage, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that working with our influences, be they conscious or not, is all we can really do.
Well, and if you're a great collagist, you know, Max Ernst, Kurt Schwitters
sure.
in the middle of the 20th century, I mean, those guys are true artists, but it was all collage.
Yeah.
So do you work lyrically that way? Are your lyrics sort of collage, like the cut-up technique?
Yeah, that's actually exactly how I start my lyrics. I make cut-up poems from usually magazine articles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, now, the two you've played so far are out there on the internet.
Yes.
But this next one is not. This is another new song from the forthcoming record to be called simply Arthur Moon. And it's called Infield?
Infield.
Is that a baseball reference?
Yes.
Or? It is.
Yes.
Are you a baseball fan?
I was a softball player in high school.
Oh, okay.
When I started, I was telling you guys this embarrassing story. When I started high school, my mother sent in, they asked the parents to send in ID photos for the kids. And my mom did not tell me this and sent in my softball pose.
Your baseball card pose?
Exactly. And I show up, I didn't know, and I show up at school and like, this is on my ID card. And everyone called me batter up for the rest of the year.
Okay.
It's very embarrassing.
Did you play infield?
I played first base.
Yeah. That is my spot. Do you still play?
No, I wish I did. Do you play?
We have a team here.
You do?
Yes. A co-ed team.
I would love to play.
All right. You're on the team.
Okay. I can't hit.
Yeah. No, okay. None of us can.
Okay.
You'll fit right in. All right, so let's hear the song. It's
okay.
Called Infield from the band Arthur Moon. That is Arthur Moon, led by Laura Faye, Batter Up Ashavud, and a song called Infield. I didn't hear anything remotely resembling a baseball or softball reference in those lyrics, but given the collage technique you were talking about before, Laura Faye, I guess that's no surprise. But that was the voice of Martin Luther King, wasn't it, in the sample?
Yeah, you can tell, huh?
Yeah. Even if you can't hear the words, it's just something about...
It's so distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about texture,
yeah.
And sometimes a voice
yeah.
can have that texture, too. Does the collage technique extend to the music, or is it just the lyrics?
I think that the way our process works, I so very much value being challenged and pushed by my collaborators that often it does end up feeling like a collage in the arrangement process. Mm. I'll usually bring a mostly finished song unless it's a co-write, which that one was a co-write with Kale and Marty. But the arrangement process feels like everyone coming in with their own sets of references and their own points of view and kind of pasting in themselves, you know? Okay.
So it's a genuine band.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it's a band effort when you hear these six people in a room like this playing live, which you'll be doing December 2nd at Berlin. When does the album come out? Any idea?
Hopefully soon. We're finishing mix tomorrow, so as soon as we can get it out into the world, we will.
All right. Yeah. Well, Laura Faye, we play on the North Meadow at Central Park. I'll expect to see you there next season.
Can't wait.
The band is Arthur Moon. They've been with us here on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast.
You don't want me to.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.